Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You ask 10 people in 2016 to find truth for me, you're going to possibly get 10 very different answers. It's become very relative. Whatever it means to you is fine for you. And the bottom line is, here's a very theological term. That's a bunch of baloney.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And I thank you, Brother Corey. And with that, we are off to the races. Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion, and welcome into the heart of Redwater, Texas, in the palatial Truth Infusion broadcast studios. And I'm excited about today because every once in a while I get to have a guest in the studio with me. And today, one of my very favorite people in the whole world sitting right across from me. And I want to introduce everybody to Mr. Kelly Wright. Kelly, just say hello.
Hello there, Mr. David.
And then I want to introduce you more properly now. Kelly is a major part of what we do at Truth Infusion Ministries. And if you're in the local area or the regional area and you've ever seen the Truth Infusion Worship Band, Kelly is the lead guitar extraordinaire that everybody loves to hear. But you didn't come today to play guitar.
No, I didn't.
Because Kelly's also a ministry leader in his church and a gifted teacher of the Word, loves to teach the Word of God.
Amen.
And we've been talking for a little bit about you getting in the studio here with me and us opening the Word and spending some time.
That's right.
Just dividing.
I love the Word of God, Brother David, and I'm just so glad to be here today with
you. I am too. And we've spent a few minutes, in the last few minutes, just kind of talking about some things that we want to offer to you, truth seekers, today. But here's what I had in mind when you and I were just discussing some of these scriptures that we're going to bring up. Just a few days ago, you and I and the guys were in Fort Worth recording on our Christmas album.
Had a lot of fun, too.
Yes, had a great time with Matt and Mark down in Fort Worth in the studio. But on the way back, driving about a three-hour drive, you and I kind of, I was driving, you were in the passenger side, and we got a chance to just talk.
Yes.
For about 3 hours. I don't know if...
Got a little silly.
At times. In 3 hours, that happens with folks like us. But we also got a chance to talk about the Lord and really spend a lot of time talking about some of the things that we're seeing in America.
Yes.
In the culture that we operate in. Both of you and I work 40-hour week jobs out in the world. We're full-time ministers at heart, but we got to go out there and earn a paycheck.
Right.
And so we're in a world system, and we see how America's turning over the last several years. We see it on the newspaper.
Right.
Every day. You know, you watch Fox News, or Lord help you if you're watching CNBC.
Or commercials.
Or just the average commercial today. It's amazing how much I have blocked from even accidentally my kids seeing it at home.
You have to have a remote in your hand at all times.
Yeah. But it's a sign of the world that we are in. And it affects us. Breaks our heart.
It does.
As parents, even with public school systems. But, you know, it makes its way into the church.
Yes,
and
it does.
And we see that. We talked about it a lot. And then I asked Kelly kind of what was on your heart for topic matter for these shows today. And really kind of seems like we're coming back to that.
Yes.
And I think it's time to talk about it. It's a very timely message.
It really is. I think one of the things that I'm dealing with just in my own circle as a minister is that we are dealing with an attitude change, if you will.
Okay.
People are so encircled in their own little world. People go home and lock themselves in their own rooms. They are on video games and they lock themselves in their own little world just through the technology. And it really is like people are living their own little movie, if you will. Well, those movies, those little movie games, if you will, are just full of just nothing but just depression and darkness.
Yeah. They are tools in this modern time of the enemy.
Yes.
The enemy's using it to just, like I think you said it earlier, put hooks.
It's just a hook.
Into, you know, the individuals and draw them in. A lot of these folks are in our churches with us. And just a few minutes ago, Kelly, you had pointed out some scripture the word is the word, and it'll lead this whole time. So let's look at exactly what we're seeing today, borne out in what Paul was writing to Timothy years ago. So where we're going to look at in the scripture right here.
What's really been touching my heart is 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Okay.
And what Paul is telling Timothy here is in chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them."
Wow. Now, that's pretty blunt.
It's very blunt. And, you know, you and I both know that Paul, he didn't pull no punches.
Right.
Paul was very, very direct.
In your face.
And I think that's a shot that, Paul's the kind of shot that we need today.
Amen.
And let's go back to verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves. We are so focused today just on I.
Right.
I have a very difficult time as a Christian today. If I watch the news and watch how Christians are suffering all over the world right now, I have a very difficult time reconciling my selfishness with what's going on across the world.
Wow.
And when we look at ourselves in American society, how blessed we are, and all the things that we have, it's very difficult for me to be focused on myself like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we are so blessed, David.
Yeah, that's right.
So blessed.
And we see it not just in what we have at our fingertips.
Yes.
The blessings of just, you know, you hear people say that are the poorest in America are wealthy compared to the poor that are in the third world countries around the world.
Yes.
But it's not just what it's at our fingertips. It's the whole mindset of America that we have this American, well, the thought of the American dream.
Yes.
Is turned into, I can have what I want.
When I want it.
When I want it. And people think it's their American right to get it how I want it. And that is selfishness, lover of yourselves. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
And Paul goes on to say, lovers of money, boastful, proud, and abusive, disobedient to their parents. I am so ashamed sometimes of my prayers in light of what other Christians are having to go through across the world. And I understand that we are living in that God has really blessed this nation. And I understand that. But look how we're raising future generations and their expectations. And what did God promise us? He promised us to have clothes and food and shelter.
Basics.
He said, that's what I'm going to take care of. And if you read the suffering of the apostles and what they went through, you know, dungeons.
Amen.
Hunger.
Beatings.
Suffering. Beatings. I just can't reconcile what we're teaching in a lot of our churches today in America, pockets full of money.
Yeah.
And God may do that. I'm not against that, but only through Christ. Only through Christ.
Sure. And for God's purposes.
His glory.
Not ours. And definitely not so that I can have more.
Right.
You know, God, I always look at when a blessing is never to benefit and build up the receiver.
Yes.
You know, that is a byproduct of a blessing, but a blessing from God into your life is so that you can pour some of that out on me.
That's right.
And a blessing in God into my life is so that I can pour that out on that person that he sends my way. But that is not American religion.
No, it's
today.
Not.
American religion today is if you're good enough, if you do the right thing, if you're at the right place at the right time, if you give the right way, you can have more and more and more and more. And just like you said, Kelly, we look at the heroes of the faith,
Yes.
In the New Testament, the apostles and those around them who, I'm not afraid to say, were much more of a Christian man than I am.
Right.
Well, why weren't they healthy, wealthy, and wise? If it's all about the more godly you are, the more you got, then Paul should have been a billionaire.
Or something that doesn't add up there, isn't
there? Something is amiss. And it's obvious that the heart set and the mindset of the popular church today,
yes,
is not following at all what is represented in these guys.
Well, let's continue on there as well with what you're saying, ungrateful and unholy.
Mm.
How ungrateful are we today? And not just to make a negative out of everything, but we're just ungrateful for the blessings that we do have. Yeah. The old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. You cannot do that for less than 30 seconds and not say, dear Jesus, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you for my children. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for my job.
Yeah.
Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my ministry. Thank you for my church. I mean, you just start naming your blessings one by one. You can't help but get a smile on your face and say, thank you, Jesus.
You are good to me.
You are good to me, better than I deserve. And we had this mentality of like, well, how come I don't have better? How come I don't have this? How come I don't have that? And the fact is that Jesus has given us all we need.
Sure.
He is so good to us.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a verse in Colossians chapter 2, I think it's verse 9 and 10, and I have to paraphrase it, but it says that Jesus is the Godhead in bodily form.
Yes.
And in Him, you are complete.
Complete.
So the completion had nothing to do with material, temporary, what you can collect here,
right,
on this world, or the blessings and what makes me happy and satisfies me as an American, as a churchgoer. It's in Christ.
Right.
There is satisfaction and fulfillment and completion. And really, what I think Paul was pointing out in Colossians right there is you can't get it anywhere else.
That's it.
This is the only source. And unfortunately, the popular movements in the church today have just really lost sight,
right,
of the truth of that.
One of my favorite things to do every Christmas is ask the youth or my Sunday school class about a week or two after Christmas Day is like, name a couple of things that you got.
Yeah.
And more than half the time, they cannot remember more than one or two items
that
they got.
Isn't that
something right? As a matter of fact, this past Sunday, I was talking about a popular singer that passed away several years ago. And I said, this man was very, and everybody knew who this man was. And I said, he was buried in a solid gold casket.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you know where that casket's at right now? And they said, where? And I said, it's in the ground.
Yeah.
He didn't take it with him. I said, the only thing that he took with him is what he and the Lord had together. Mm-hmm. And I said, that was it. And I'm just trying to convey to them the importance of what they're doing right now, the things that they're doing for others, the things that they're sharing with others, their attitude towards people, because that's all they got. It's their attitude towards others and how they're reacting with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Yeah, the true treasure,
yes,
are the things that we're building for ourselves or accruing for ourselves in heavenly places, and those treasures, Kelly, are of eternal value.
Eternal.
Anything that's of temporary value that will pass away, that will fade away, it's worth whatever it's worth in the moment, but it's temporary.
Temporary.
And it's not eternal. And those are the things that we're, like you just said, those are the things that we're. If you want to build something that's worth something,
yes,
it's in your relationship with Christ and your relationship with each other. I think about Colin, Reagan, and Taylor, you know, and these kiddos of mine, and you've got your two. If we are doing the right thing by them, that is something we can carry into eternity.
Absolutely.
That is eternal. That is relationship. And we're missing the mark. And when Paul makes a list of people, or the characteristics of these type of people, every single one of these are self-fulfilling things that have temporary pleasure.
Temporary. And Paul is talking about terrible times in the last days. This is not just something he's passing over here. This is not just like, hey, by the way, this is going to be bad. He says, mark this. Put this down.
Yeah.
This is the kind of folks that are going to be around you in the last days. You need to write this down.
I looked at that word, perilous, just a few minutes before you got to the studio here,
And one of the commentators I read after said that, I'm trying to look for my notes, he said, dangerous, something that's very hard to deal with.
Yes.
So I think Paul was looking at the true church, the disciples of Christ, and was saying, look, there's a time that's coming, and it is not going to be easy to deal with.
No, it's not.
You're not going to, in other words, it's not going to be clear to you how to handle what's about to happen with the people that you're going to be dealing with.
And something that is so scary to me, as the church runs to and fro in confusion, looking for rhyme or reason to why our country's in the shape it's in, they are looking for answers, and they're not. Some of us are not looking in the right place.
Yeah,
we're looking for somebody to fix it.
Mm.
And if it's like you said, we're not looking in the right places.
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus is the only answer.
Yeah, right.
And there's terrible people out there that will tell us anything that we want to hear. And these people are deceitful. They're slanderous. They'll say anything they have to say. And that's the kind of people that are around.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm reminded of the scripture that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
But against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And Paul points out in that verse that that which we see and hear and touch is the person in front of us that is operating in such a way that we don't know how to deal. How am I going to deal with this guy? I've got to go to work with him tomorrow, and he is just making my life miserable, and I want to be a witness, and I want to be an example, and I want to move him toward Christ. And when you deal with somebody that examples these things in this list, Kelly, it's hard to stay spiritual.
It really is.
And that's what Paul's getting at. This is not going to be something that's going to be easy for you to deal with. One of the things that I found out about this word perilous, there's one other place in the scripture where this word in the Greek is used, and it is speaking of the demoniac in Gadara that Jesus drove the demons out of. Same descriptive word for him. And one commentator was saying, here's what we can draw from this. It is demonic activity that is energizing this attitude in this age.
Wow.
And like we've been pointing out, yeah, it's the guy at work. It's the teacher maybe that you're struggling with your kids that's living this way. But Kelly, it's a lot of people that we go to church with.
Yes.
Every Sunday. In fact, these folks right here that Paul is pointing out are the ones that Timothy is dealing with in the church.
I was just going to say that this letter is to Timothy, who's over the church. That's who Paul's talking
to. Yeah.
That's what this letter is all about. It's like, Timothy, beware of these folks.
It's not the people that are in the club on the weekend.
Right.
They may be there too.
Right.
But they're the ones that Timothy, as these pastoral epistles, Paul's trying to show him, here's what you do to be a pastor. These are the kind of people that Timothy's dealing with 2,000 years ago. And how much more are we in these last days now?
Today.
In our churches.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I think that the listeners, Kelly, that whether you're listening your car radio or at home or at work, or maybe you're just streaming this by the internet, wherever you are, I believe that because we are in these times, and Paul laid this out so clearly, that everybody is recognizing and identifying with what we're talking about.
Yes, they see it.
Yeah, you see it at work, you see it at church. Okay, and so the identification in these times, because you said it earlier, these lines have become so clear. So let's do this in the last few minutes that we have. So if we've identified this attitude in this present time, what do we do about it?
Well, here's the good thing about it. Paul tells us, he's so clear about it in verse 5, he says, these folks have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. He says, don't have anything to do with them. These folks are so bad, you're just going to have to let the Holy Spirit deal with them.
Yeah.
But let's jump on down to verse 12. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted. So don't be surprised about that. You're going to meet persecution.
That's a good point.
And it's going to be hard. But here's the good part about it. He says, as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's the key right here, David.
Okay.
verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The key is Jesus Christ, the Word of God.
Yep.
We must teach the Word of God. That's what the key of this whole thing is that we must continue to teach the Word of God and not dilute it. Teach it.
Doesn't it? It always comes back to this.
It always comes back.
Right. We the problems may be such that it's difficult to figure out how to deal with it.
It is.
The person sitting across from you that you're struggling with, you may not have a clue what to do with, but the answer is always the same.
Well, you know, you've talked earlier about having conflict at work with people and just make you just want to lose your religion, if you'll say.
Yeah.
Well, I've dealt with things like that in my life for sure. And you know what? And I have found in the Word of God, Paul said, don't get into useless arguments.
That's right.
Don't do that. And I have found when I don't do that, guess what happens? I don't lose my mind.
It's great when you do it His way.
When I do what the Lord says to do, it's so easy.
Yeah.
He knows what to do if I'll do what He says to do, but it all has to do with studying the Scripture and knowing what God's Word says.
Yeah.
It always goes, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and that Word is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is the answer.
You know, we wear these Truth Infusion t-shirts.
Yes.
And on the back, it says, truth is a person.
Yes. I love it.
In the year 2016, you ask somebody, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus that 2,000 years ago. He has Jesus Christ standing in front of him. Pilate says, what is truth? And then without waiting for a response, he turns around and walks. If anybody could have given him an answer, the fact is the truth was standing in front of him.
Right in front of his face.
So John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the truth.
Right.
And you ask 10 people in 2016 to find truth for me, you're going to possibly get 10 very different answers.
It's relative.
It's become very relative. Whatever it means to you is fine for you. And the bottom line is, here's a very theological term. That's a bunch of baloney.
It is.
Because we know that truth is one thing and can mean one thing only.
That's right.
And it all comes back to what does God say?
What does God say? What does God say about it? What does His Word say about it? That's the truth.
Yeah. And I love the phrase, doctrine equals freedom.
Yes,
because
I like that.
The more we get into the Word, and I think we have a problem with, in the average churchgoer today, and I know that no truth seeker listener to this program is an average churchgoer out
there.
That's
right.
But for the average churchgoer today, most of them don't have a daily devotional time.
Right.
Most Christians don't have a regular daily devotional time. And the ones that do, a lot of us are doing it for the wrong reason.
Out of a obligation.
Right. Or, yeah, there's a you can put 100 different reasons on it.
Yeah.
But if it's not just because I'm in love with Jesus Christ and I got to know more about Him.
Right.
Then your motivation's wrong. But for those that will ask and keep on asking, and we'll seek and keep on seeking, and we'll knock and keep on knocking, the truth and the freedom of the doctrine of the Word of God is unmatchable.
Right.
You can't match it. You can't find it. You can't replicate it or duplicate it. It's power.
And as you begin to study and you draw closer to the Lord and you put on that armor, those fiery arrows are shot your way. They just bounce right off.
Yeah.
You just become closer to the Lord. And I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Sometimes my students look at me. I know that they're sitting there thinking, oh, can't we do something else? And I say, there's one thing I promise you guys. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the Word of God.
Yeah.
And because you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And
Jesus said in John chapter 8, the end of John chapter 8, He said, if you abide in My Word, then you're My disciples.
Yes.
And it's almost like first. Well, it's not almost. Here's what He said. Here's the cause. If you abide in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
You know,
that's the thing. It is a progression, what Christ laid out right there. You've got to abide in My Word first, then you're My disciples. Then you'll have a working knowledge of the truth. Then freedom comes.
Right. That's it. That's the key.
Right. So those of us that avoid time in the Word,
truth is, you're living in a world that if you're not standing up on the Word of God, will pull you in some amazingly difficult directions.
Yes, and these people that we've been talking about, that unfortunately the devil is using.
Yeah,
that's the folks that are coming.
Yeah,
that are around, and the only defense is that relationship with Christ and the Word of God.
Okay, so let me. We just got 2 or 3 minutes left, so I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Okay. Can you handle it?
I think so.
If you're scared, just say you're scared. Okay, no,
I'll run away.
Say that there's somebody listening right now, and they're in a work situation, or they're in a church situation maybe, sometimes even more difficult than work, and they're dealing with this type of person, this type of environment that Paul lists here, perilous times, difficult to know how to deal with. And if you're sitting across the table from them and you got just a couple of minutes to encourage them, what would you do? What would you say?
First of all, I would say do not be discouraged. And you need to make sure you're not unevenly yoked. You need to make sure
good.
You have got somebody around you, whether it's in another department or a friend that's even away from there that's in a relationship with you of prayer over this person. Do not be unevenly yoked. You're not in this battle alone. Be in prayer for this person, but do not compromise the Word of God.
Amen.
And just remember, though, that God loves this person. God loves this person. But do not compromise your values. Do not compromise your beliefs. But remember, do everything in love. But do not get drawn into useless arguments, useless debates. The best thing you can do when you are drawn into things that are just going to drag you down into a pit is just walk away. Just walk away from it. You do not have to be drugged down into it.
The love of God expressed through a child of God will win.
It will win.
Ultimately, Kelly, that's what won you, was God's
love. That's
right.
That's exactly right.
And that's what won me. And really, nobody's ever been won to the Lord apart from the fact that they got a glimpse and a taste of the love of Jesus Christ into their life.
Well,
Kelly, I appreciate you spending some time. Would you come back another week and do this with me again?
I would love to. This was so much fun.
All right. Truth seekers, we pray that you've been blessed. God bless you. Keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.